Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
3, 2, 1. We are recording. This is Lee Brekeen with the Sports Scouting Report. I hope everybody's having a great day, a great Wednesday. This past weekend was an interesting weekend. We're going to recap all of Louisiana football teams. We're going to talk about LSU, Tulane, Louisiana Tech, ULM, ULL. We're going to talk a little high school football. We're going to talk about other college football teams. I watched a lot of games this past week. I'm sure everybody did, all the sports fans out there, a lot of our listeners. But I want to go ahead and start with LSU. And, you know, everybody's, you know, pretty upset, which, you know, we have a pretty emotional fan base at LSU in Baton Rouge. It's always been that way. And it's good because, you know, when people care, you have a lot of followers. You have a lot of people who care about the university, and they want to win championships every year. And you can't win every year. My expectations of LSU going into this season was not a national championship. It was an 8-2 season with the adjusted 10-game schedule, which basically you keep your program in the top 10, and you go back, you regroup, and you compete for 221 with all these great recruits that you brought in 19 and 20. You rebuild, and you try and get things ready for 221. You just want to have a keep the program at a level perception-wise and all around with, you know, about an 8-2 record. 8-2 record won't get you in the playoffs, even with the new format. But here's my thoughts on the LSU-Mississippi State game. I'm sure there's 1,000 reasons and 1,000 people to blame, and there's everybody's got an opinion, and everybody can have an opinion. But here's my major deals. No fans, Harley, which hurt. Tiger Stadium being at 14 or 20,000 or 25, whatever it was, just it wasn't the fear factor that LSU has, all right? That's the first thing. Two, no warm-up game. The team didn't have a Northwestern State, no offense to those guys. I love them in Natchitoches. They didn't have a Nickel State. They didn't have a Coastal Carolina, anybody like that, which that probably would have been tough too, but they didn't have a warm-up game. No Stingley, no Glenn Logan, no Jamar Chase, no Tyler Shelvin, no Kerry Vincent. Dante Starks, a highly recruited linebacker, was not on the team. Kelvin Joseph, that hurt. He was at Kentucky. We'll talk about that later, starting corner. It would have been good to have Kelvin Joseph come back. You know, just – and no graduate transfer quarterback. No spring practice. That's the biggest one. When you don't have spring practice, you can't evaluate everybody, and even Pelini didn't get a chance to do that. And LSU had no tape on Mississippi State for spring. They had a new coach in Mike Leach. And the final thing is the perfect storm, the opponent they did not want to play in week one without a warm-up game and no spring practice was Mike Leach. That's the guy you don't want to play week one. I think I would have rather seen LSU play Auburn. This is the most lethal offensive mind genius in the country. And he's got this guy, Costello kid, from Stanford, who really outplayed what I thought he would do. I saw him at Stanford. He never looked this good. Leach just made him better. And they ran, you know, the same 17 plays. And LSU just wasn't ready with a young team on top of that, So there were so many intangibles. We can look at so many different reasons. We can say Pelini. No, I wouldn't blame Pelini. I mean, this guy's trying to figure out what he has. He didn't even have a spring practice. And here's my take on Brennan. You know, Brennan has to obviously sharpen his game up really, really quick. But he can improve in certain things. He can improve, you know, maybe his processing the information. Maybe it was because he was playing tight. He can prepare for the opponent better. But here again, no film on Mississippi State with Leach, right? So your quarterback didn't even have film on this offense. He can step up in the pocket. You can improve that. You can play looser. But one thing that he's not going to be able to improve on, which I think is going to hurt him run this offense, is the ability to run when needed. The ability to sidestep the rush. Instincts when needed. And when you're not mobile in the pocket, it's not that you don't even have to be a dual quarterback to do this. But if you can't sidestep a rush and you cannot run when needed, it's going to be tough to run this offense. Like I said, he can improve enough to do some things to get better. It was his first start. He's never started a game. But I'm not even mentioning Joe Burrow. I mean, that's a once-in-a-lifetime player. One every 50 years, you get a Joe Burrow. But moving forward for LSU, you're not going to be able to see how good LSU really is, even if they beat Vandy and then Missouri, so they can go 2-1. I'm not saying that's automatic. Then they got Florida, right, in Gainesville. And so what you want to happen is by the time LSU plays Florida, that Brennan has cleaned up everything except the ability to run. He can't run. I mean, he doesn't have those feet. You know, a lot of quarterbacks don't have it, but you got to be able to slide in the pocket and move around when needed. When a DN's coming around, you got to be able to move and then not give up on the play and throw it. And I think the fans got really spoiled with Joe Burrow, what he could do in the pocket, not just running, but the ability to maneuver, stay in the pocket, keep his eyes downfield, and make a play. But I think he can improve everything but that, and that's a major problem. You know, just being a pocket guy, it's tough to do that now in the SEC with all the 6- and 7-man rushes they bring, the blitzes, the safeties come in. And now, until he improves the rest of his game, most defenses are going to go with a 3-man line and put 8 back to guard, which is going to be tough. That means you've got to really hit pockets. And so the good teams are going to rush 3. So, you know, it's going to be tougher instead of easier moving forward. And Vandy held Texas A&M in College Station to 17 points and lost 17-12. I watched that game. Mississippi State, take your hat off to Coach Leach and the quarterback Costello. I mean, they did great. And State, they hired the right guy. Leach is a guy that's innovative, and he's – I don't think the defense for State is as good as LSU made them look. But I think that offense from Mississippi State with Hill at running back is – with Kalon Hill is just phenomenal. They got a chance to be really good on offense. But – I don't see Mississippi State going to Atlanta. I really don't. I mean, LSU made them look a lot better than they are, but kudos to Mississippi State and the Mississippi State fans and their program. I have friends that are Mississippi State graduates, and I'm happy for them. I mean, I grew up an LSU guy, you know, grew up in Baton Rouge. I grew up a Louisiana guy overall. But let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the other Louisiana colleges in Louisiana, and I had a chance to watch UL and Louisiana Tech, and ULM, and Tulane. We'll be right back.
Hello, Louisiana Football Magazine fans. Like what you're hearing? Well, you're going to love our content at LAFootballMagazine.com. This week, make sure to check out all of our recruit spotlight articles on Unis cornerback Simeon Ardoin, Central Catholic athlete Hugh Hamer, and Peabody quarterback Tyreek Miles. Also, make sure to go to our website to pre-order our North and South Magazine editions for the upcoming 2020 season. All that and more at LAFootballMagazine.com.
Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report with Lee Burkine. We're recapping this past weekend of Louisiana schools, and we're going to have recruiting later in the show. I'm going to talk some Zachary Broncos. Zachary and St. Aug will be playing week one. I plan on going to the game. If I can go, I hope I can get in. This is something I'm not used to at first time in 30 years to be able to go scout a game, right? So I'm hoping they'll let me in at Zachary High School this Friday night. I want to go ahead and talk about some of the other teams in the state. Louisiana Tech, they're 2-0, and they beat, you know, a team that's not really that good. But this week, we're going to see what they're made of. This week, they got to go to Brigham Young, BYU, in Provo, Utah. Brigham Young has got a really good team. I really like their team. This might be the most talented team in a long time with Brigham Young. It's gonna show what Louisiana Tech has. It's the first true opponent for Tech, and if they beat BYU on the road, man, they're gonna set up a great year. ULM lost, they're 0-3. It's gonna be tough for them this year. This was a game they should have. This was one of the winnable games this past week. And ULM, it was not even close, and I'm telling you, it's going to be tough for them guys. I mean, not having a spring practice was even harder for ULM than even LSU, because ULM needed a spring practice, and I see the effects of that. Tulane put up 66 points on Southern Miss. Wow. And they found their quarterback. It looks like their freshman quarterback out of Florida is going to be the guy. Michael Pratt threw two touchdown passes, and looks like he's going to have a chance to be the guy, you know, or they do have someone ready. You know, you can play freshman quarterbacks. Not all of them are ready, but some are. But what a find for Tulane getting this kid out of Florida. ULL won the game with a 53-yard field goal over a really good Georgia Southern team. If you were probably talking about this game prior to the season, you would probably said Georgia Southern would have won. You probably would have thought Georgia Southern would have won anyway this week, because UL didn't have the starting running back, Elijah Mitchell, and they were missing six starters. Still won the game. They beat one of the best teams in the Sun Belt. The Cajuns are just, man, these guys have nine lives. They win games late. Two of their three wins were in the final seconds. They beat Georgia State late in the game, came back from behind, and then they blew Iowa State off the field. They're 3-0. They played three hard opponents for them. Really, the last big-time opponent for them will be Appalachian State. If they get by them, they might go undefeated. I'm really impressed the job that ULL's doing right now. It's incredible. They got their team prepared. Those guys play hard. They don't give up. They play 60 minutes. But, you know, you can look on the flip side of college football. You can see Virginia Tech. They didn't have 16 starters Saturday. Think about this, listeners. 16 starters sat out because of COVID-19. They still beat a good conference team, North Carolina State, 45-24. So it didn't affect them. North Carolina State's got a good program. Not a top 20 team, but top 40. A conference game. They blew them off the field. You know, it's interesting. Mississippi State, just a tidbit, they were led in tackles by a Louisiana guy. Speaking of salt on the wounds, I mean, Sean Preston from St. James High School, who's a hybrid linebacker safety, led the Mississippi State Bulldogs with 11 tackles. He led the team. LSU did not offer Sean Preston. He's a guy that could have played for LSU in the secondary. Kelvin Joseph started for Kentucky and really looked good except one play. One play that he got beat in the corner of the end zone, but 90% of the game, he was really good. LSU could have used Kelvin Joseph if he wouldn't have left. That's a guy that was in that 18 class that they needed on their roster. You know, so Sean Preston and Kelvin Joseph would have made a huge difference if these guys would have been signed, and also if you know, someone like Dante Starks coming back, who would have been a second-year linebacker. You know, Jamar Chase would have been there to help Brennan out through all the headaches of a first game. Jamar wasn't there. Tyler Shelvin, your nose guard, who started, 12, 13 games, wasn't there. Kerry Vincent, who came in the clutch last year to help LSU beat Ole Miss and Oxford, had a key interception against Oklahoma in the playoffs. Kerry Vincent opted out. I mean, that, you know, we can go on and on about all the reasons LSU lost to State. First of all, State played well, but there's a lot of intangibles why they gave up 44 points. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk some high school football. We'll be right back.
Parents, are you looking for advice on getting your high school athlete recruited by the right college? Lee Brekeen is your answer. Lee has been doing it for over 30 years. He knows the ropes, and more importantly, he knows the people. Lee offers turnkey service from evaluation, creating highlight tapes in the correct format, and complete guidelines for effective communication with the schools. No matter the sport, girl or boy, no matter what grade your child is in, let Lee Brekeen help match your child to the right college fit. Go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com, and get connected today.
Welcome back. You're listening to Lee Brekeen with the Sports Scouting Report. Let's talk a little high school football. The game that I'm actually going to go to, hopefully I can get in. Hopefully Zachary will let me in this Friday at Zachary against St. Aug, the Purple Knights from New Orleans. What a matchup. Man, Eli Holstein gets his first start. Who's got a cannon arm. I'm really, really, really excited, hopefully, to go see him play. Chris Hilton, LSU commitment, is a big-time playmaker. That's why he's committed to LSU. He makes plays. He's fast. Track guy that's turned into a great football player, receiver, senior. There's several players for Zachary that I want to go see play again. Brody Reek, offensive lineman, 6'4", about 315, came over from Brule High School. He's got a chance to be a D1, 1AA guy on the O-line. Logan Fletcher, their kicker's got a 1AA leg. Jadarius Carter's a big old lineman that can sign somewhere when the season's over. Kennison Tate is a great athlete on offense, a receiver, slot guy. Elijah Hill, who's moved to linebacker from DN, a great rush guy. Really impressed with him. Daryl Kane, offensive lineman, got a chance to be a college signee in the end. Ralph Walker, a DB. And junior receiver, Charles Robertson, has got a chance to be special. So they got Robertson and Chris Hilton, two D1 receivers. Kennison Tate could be a guy, go 1AA. You got a great receiving core. You got a big O-line. You got a young talent quarterback in Eli Holstein, who I'm just, again, excited to see him play. It's his first start. And they play St. Aug. St. Aug got a lot of talent, too. This is a great matchup, man. This is like matchup of the Titans. You know, another player, a couple of players I want to see for Zachary is Jerion Miller, DB. And Tremaine Bouvier, a defensive end who's been starting for him for 3 years. But St. Aug has Byron Turner, DN, that's committed to Florida State. Their quarterback, Kendall Sampson, I think is a phenomenal player. That's why I think this game's going to be so good, because you got two great quarterbacks. You got speed on both sides of the ball. You got size on both sides of the ball. St. Aug's big on OD line, so is Zachary. Zachary's not as big on D line, but they're quick. You got Savon Gooden, who's an Edna Carr transfer at linebacker. That's for St. Aug. Got a chance to be a signee this year. One of the speediest, fastest guys in the state for St. Aug as a receiver, running back, Albert Quest. He's 5'5", but let me tell you, this guy runs like a 4'3", and it's legit. I like Lucius Tillery, a cornerback for St. Aug. I think he's D1. Edward Gildes, who's a safety corner, is another D1 DB for St. Aug. Samaji Payton, I think, is their best O lineman. He could be a center or guard for them. I don't know what he's going to start against Zachary. Could be either or. But we're talking about a guy 6'2", about 310, that's got feet, and he is very powerful. And then you got Tylee Keesley, a receiver with a lot of speed. And I'm not even talking about the juniors. St. Aug's got about 15 juniors that are really good. But, again, their quarterback, Kendall Sampson, I think he's special. He's not ranked high. Who cares? I think he can play D1 ball. He's the best quarterback I've seen at St. Aug that can drop back and throw it. He can set his feet and throw it, and he also can run. He's 6'2", about 200 pounds, 205. He's one of those guys that flawlessly runs when you chase him, and he runs a legit 4.6, which is really moving at 200 pounds. Byron Turner is one of the best defensive ends in the state. I had him on the show about 2 months ago. He's committed to Florida State, had over 14 sacks last year, 6'3", about 245. I'm interested to see how much better he's even gotten. I mean, he was D1 last year. He might end up being one of the best in the state. Maybe LSU will try and get him back, but right now he's committed to Florida State. I want to go ahead and talk about the University of Miami before we finish today. I had a chance to watch the Florida State game. And, you know, they've been pretenders for the last 12 years. Like, they'll look good and then lose five in a row. And I'm sure my listening audience agrees with me, a lot of people. Miami was so good back in the day with Howard Snellenberger, Jimmy Johnson as the head coach, Dennis Erickson, and then they had Butch Davis. They had Coker. Remember Coker won a national championship? He was kind of like Les Miles, won one, and then he was kind of pushed out of town after 3 years. LSU helped that by beating him in the Peach Bowl with Matt Flynn. Remember that? But Miami went out and got a graduate transfer quarterback. And the kid is phenomenal from the University of Houston. LSU could have got that kid, Malik King. The Daniels kid that's at Georgia that's going to start next week, JT Daniels from USC. I don't know if LSU could have got him, but, I mean, they obviously had a chance. But my closing thoughts are the biggest thing in this whole equation for LSU is I said this on my podcast 4 months ago. It might have been 5 months ago. I mentioned that I thought LSU, the coaches, should have took a grad transfer quarterback to challenge Brennan, even though there wasn't a spring practice, okay? Because if this would have happened to where he's not really performing at a level that he needs to be at, or it continues like a couple of weeks, you've got a graduate transfer quarterback who can come in and maybe do it. And they don't have that right now. And so they've got two freshman quarterbacks, the Johnson kid from Georgia, and the quarterback from Ponchatoula, TJ Finley, the freshman. Neither one of those guys are ready. So what's going to happen, and I've seen this happen over 30 years, if you don't have a quarterback on your roster that can lead you to a championship, you play the guy that's most ready, and that's Brennan. So he'll play against Vandy. I don't look for them to bench him, and he'll play against Missouri. And he'll play until they're mathematically maybe out of the conference championship race. To me, that's the only way they play one of these freshman quarterbacks. But I do think at some point you need to play him because once, if you lose a couple of more games, which is probably going to happen, you need to prepare for next year. You don't want this to be a two-year problem because Nussmeier, if he signs with LSU, he's coming in as a true freshman next year, right? True freshman. Some can do it. Some can come in and do it. But realistically, you want to play your freshman at some point if Brennan doesn't step his game up to see if they're the guy, right? If they're not, then you know, right? Then if they're not, then you go out and get a graduate transfer quarterback for next year, if you can get one, to challenge Nussmeier or one of these young guys coming back. Because not all these guys will be back, right? That's just how it works. But that's my closing thoughts with LSU, college football, Zachary High School, St. Aug, Purple Knights, college football in general. I hope you enjoyed the show. And hopefully I can get into Zachary High School this Friday night. I can give you reports on all these recruits from both teams who I've seen play a lot of these guys over 2 years now. I think it's going to be one of the best games in the state. I think St. Aug's a state championship type of team. I think Zachary is. You got two teams in week one that are potentially state championship teams from two cities, New Orleans and Baton Rouge. What a matchup. Go to the website. If you haven't purchased your Louisiana football magazine, South or North copies, be sure to go to the site. If you're a first-time listener and you're a mom or dad or a coach or just a fan, you love football, you got to get the preview issue. Go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com, and we'll see you Friday. We got a great interview with Coach Gary Dewey, legendary Gary Dewey, basketball coach, Hall of Fame basketball coach, former LSU assistant, phenomenal person, and just got married. Congratulations, Gary. Just got married, and he's a Hall of Fame coach. We talk about a lot of stuff. We talk about LSU. We talk about high school basketball. We talk about, you know, a lot of the great basketball coaches in the country over the years and all the best talent to ever come out of Baton Rouge for basketball, for recruiting. We'll see you later. We'll see you Friday.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.